when I started doing the fruit cutting, no one ever came up to me and say, hey, you're the skit guy. They might say like, hey, I knew you from LinkedIn, but they're like, hey, you're the fruit cutting guy. So there's a recognition that I think that was the most impactful part.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Confessions of a B2B Entrepreneur. And today we're joined by Tim Davidson of B2B Riz. And we are going to be talking about Tim's unique take on B2B content, specifically LinkedIn. So Tim's done two different things specifically, or content series, let's say, on LinkedIn that have crushed it, that have kind of defined his personal brand. So we dig into A, what they are, B, his strategy behind them, and then C, the impact. Before that, let's give a quick shout out to the people that are creating the show and are also responsible for any social posts you may have seen from me in the past few months. The business is called Fame, also happens to be my business. We make B2B businesses and their leaders famous, for lack of a better word. So if you're interested in that, please go to fame.so, say that I sent you, and we'll make sure we look after you. With that, let's jump into this episode with Tim right now. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So there's a very short, small list of people that I see in B2B as being like truly funny. And you're in there. There's four of them. There's Abhay Jirani. I think you know all these people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Todd Clauser, Travis Tyler.
Yeah.
And Tim Davidson. And I've had the other three on the show, and now we're completing the circle. So first, how do you feel about that?
It's funny. I've been able to be in the same room as Travis Tyler and Todd Clauser one time, and we started creating content. It was a lot of laughs. It was a lot of fun. Obeid, I've never met in person, talked to him a lot, but I'm actually meeting him in a few weeks, so I'm very excited about that. But yeah, that's a good group.
You guys are really leading the way. My question to you, or the first one is, why do we think that now, 2024, I guess it started 2023, maybe 2022, we're finally getting content in B2B that is almost reminiscent of B2C content?
I think there's just been more people wanting to do it. So they're just more like, it's almost been a forced function though, because it's been a lot of the same content and everyone's learning that you need to stick out somehow. And whether that's being funny or just being different, I think people are forced to do that now, especially with 2023, when everyone had to do, the budgets were getting cut, people were just getting let go. The only way to really stick out was to be different rather than doing all the same stuff. There's a kind of a status quo from 2021 and 2020. You know, half 2022 and even like 2020, where everyone was just buying, everyone was hiring, things were good, right? In the B2B space, there's a forced function to it. And then I think there was just also just people that were coming up and seeing it working. They're like, all right, I can try that. I can be a little personable. I can be myself. And I think it's awesome. I think it's great to see, and I think it's going to keep coming.
So that's the why. I want to now go into some examples of the what, and I'm going to run through a few of your things that you've done, which I see as being like funny or different. And we can just get the story behind it. The first one is the subheadline on your site. So it's b2briz.com. We'll talk more about B2B Riz later, but subheadline, ABM with LinkedIn Ads Consulting for B2B SaaS that doesn't fudging suck. I'm assuming this is just kind of maybe how you think about it, and we're just being like completely open on the site, e.g. good copywriting. Was there anything else behind that that we're missing?
I think it just comes into my personality. When you're active on LinkedIn, you get feedback on things, which I think is very important overall. And it's really weird, but my personality is, I don't mind swearing. I don't dislike swearing, but I've made it like my thing to like say, instead of shit, sheet, or instead of fucking, fudging. And it's just like this thing I do. And for some reason, it just describes the personality. And that's why I put it in the headline alongside the things that B2B Riz are, which is ABM with LinkedIn Ads. But I've been trying to dive more into the personality part, because I think that's just been more and more important, especially when my business is a one-person consultant. So it's obviously more important, but I think brands are starting to showcase the personality. I think that's becoming more and more important. I like that. So I'm going to lean into it.
I see this a lot as part of building like, not an aura, but like your own brand. If you have things that you do that are slightly different or slightly weird, then I think that can help spread the story of the person. And so I'm not sure if you did that like on purpose or it's just like congruent to you, but I think it's probably helping you grow the brand.
I think it is helping me grow the brand, because I think everyone's different and everyone's weird too. Let's just be clear. Everyone has their quirks. And so when in B2B, for the most part, doesn't like to show off those quirks, whatever it is, weirdness or the things that aren't like buttoned up and suit and tie. And so when you do that, I think people resonate with that. I just think it's becoming more mainstream. I think people are just okay with it now. Because like, think about it, like 10 years ago in B2B, everyone thought you had to wear a suit and tie. Everyone thought to come into a sales call, you had to wear a suit and tie, brought dressed up to the nines, like just looking at, you just had to. Nowadays, everyone's wearing swim trunks in a Zoom call and you're wearing like maybe a collared shirt tops, like,
and then, or maybe you're just wearing a sweatshirt. It's
become mainstream, hats. I remember in 2020 seeing someone with a backwards hat on the Zoom call. I was like, oh, this is weird. I think it's just becoming normal. And I think everyone's personalities are able to shine that way.
So there's two more things apart from the strange taste in shirts that I think are helping build your brand as well, Tim. Let's do the sign one. Can you just give us the background and then talk about the campaign, let's say, and then the results and the impact?
So obviously everyone knows I didn't start the sign. I was stolen from the sign guy, the classic, like in the New York streets thing. That's just like a meme that I was like, all right, let me try that at a B2B event. I remember it was actually August 2023. I went to an event called, it was B2B MX in Boston. It was a smaller version of it. And I went to the event. I've attended events. I was thinking of it more of, I'm not going to get the budget for a booth. I don't really care for booths either way, but I just knew I wasn't going to get the budget for that. But I wanted to also kind of see if I can make an impact in terms of like the social, like just getting eyes on the brand or on like point of view or something like that. I went to that event with three ideas. One was the sign holding. One was actually, I had like fake money and I would drop it on the floor. But when you open it, it had like a note in it and it would say like a phrase and it would be like, connect me on LinkedIn or visit this website. I started dropping that and people didn't really like that. I actually did make a friend out of it because she thought it was funny. But for the most part, people didn't like it. I could see that I would like go around the corner and look at how they're doing it. They didn't really like that. So that didn't work out well. And then the other one, it was obviously not as notable because I can't remember what it was. I think it was just going to like create content, like just try to make skits, which is harder to do at events at scale. In the event, and I did the sign, I saw people come up, take a bunch of pictures. Some people come up to me saying, hey, I just showed this to my team in Slack, posted on social, it got like a bunch of engagement. I was like, all right, well, that was obviously the bigger winner. And then I started doing it a lot of events and just became like this. It really just became like a series in itself. It was the lowest cost thing. All you had to do was just send me to an event. You had to send me obviously the airfare and all that. And in terms of like the impact, I left the company a couple months ago and these things take time to resolve into pipeline revenue and stuff like that. But the initial results, I think I went to like 10 or 11 events. The cost was under $25,000 for all of it. So like sending me to it, the event tickets, all that. And then what I was measuring was impressions from talking about the event, like the sign holding on like social for my, and then the company page. And we got like over 800,000 impressions. The engagement rate was like 3.2% or 3% on average, which is really, really strong. In terms of that, I thought it was very impactful. And then it just became like a thing. So that was obviously there's other impact. And then the things I can't measure is just like, there was tons of people that would walk by, take a picture. Like I said, hey, I sent this to my team in Slack, or I actually got screenshots of other companies using that those pictures in their like sponsor email. It's just impact that you can't measure there, but it was very, very interesting. It was a lot of fun too, and awkward as well.
Just to be clear for people listening, you would go to events and you would hold a sign with sunglasses on.
Yes.
And you would obviously like film yourself or take pictures of yourself. And on the sign, there would be a phrase about B2B marketing that presumably related to the company that was sending you or to the product that the company was sending you to the event.
Exactly. It evolved a little bit. I would also test like, hey, ask me anything about LinkedIn ads. It'd be on cardboard. And then I'd have a mic and a video camera a little far away. And it ended up being like an interview series that way. So they'd be like, ask me something about LinkedIn ads. And it'd be closer to the company as well. Or just being mic'd up and just talking to people while I'm holding the signs. There's an involvement, or it evolved a little bit. But yeah, in its essence, just it would be a phrase or something about B2B marketing that related to the company.
Big credit to the, I guess, the budget holders of your old business for like just signing that off. Did you pitch it in a meeting with like a slide deck, et cetera?
No slide deck. No, I mean, the CEO got it. He understood what I was trying to do. Now, I should be clear, because I think it'd be helpful for others that are trying to like try something new. I went to that first event that I mentioned to try it out on my own. I went there on my dime and that was to try it. That was like, I'm going to test this. And then obviously seeing the engagement and the impressions from it, I was able to use that as like proof that I think we could do more of this for the 11 others that they did pay for. So I did get like a use case first and it made it easier to pitch it for sure.
And it must have helped you Because now you're kind of known as like a sign guy. So it's B2B Riz. Have you had people come to you being like coming into your sales process, mentioning that or saying that they found you through that?
Not the event stuff specifically. They'll mention it, but a lot of people that I talk to, it's hard to say because it's more of like my LinkedIn presence and I'm doing LinkedIn ads, right? So there's a tie to that. And I also talk about that on social, but people have talked about it, like mentioned it. I've also had people that are like, hey, can you do this for us as like a sponsor deal or something like that? So people do realize the kind of impact of it. But I think it just goes into the personal brand I'm trying to build as part of like trying to stick out in a sense. So I think they appreciate the out-of-box thinking and that might help them come to me.
On to the third example, which I think could be your most successful. I think you know it's coming. It's the fruit chopping LinkedIn videos. So again, like background, why you chose to do this, any strategy behind it, and then also the impact would be great to hear.
Yeah, it's probably the most impactful, probably because the reason I say that is because before that, I was doing videos. It was mostly like skits though. It'd be like, all right, me in a, you know, like here, I'd be the marketer and then it'd be sales and I'd wear like a vest or and a hat and there'd be like, I'd be talking back and forth, B2B marketing stuff. But when I started doing the fruit cutting, no one ever came up to me and say, hey, you're the skit guy. They might say like, hey, I knew you from LinkedIn, but they're like, hey, you're the fruit cutting guy. So there's a recognition that I think that was the most impactful part. But the reason it started was actually from TikTok. I would notice, I would scroll through TikTok and I recognize what I was watching. There's three things that I thought I could try. I like to try different things before going all in on it. But there's three things that I noticed myself watching. One was people unboxing videos and talking about something. One was someone cooking and talking about and like telling a story. And the other was actually someone was cutting fruit, but they were overlaying a voice on it. So like, it wasn't like them talking and cutting the fruit. They were like, just, you can just see them in the background cutting the fruit and they would talk over it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try all three of these. And I did. I tried all three and the fruit cutting just did the best. And I'm glad it did because unboxing would have been pretty expensive. I would have get shipped something a lot. Cooking food, that was just a mess. And the noise factor and all that was just very, very messy. The fruit cutting, there's a lot of fruit. There's a lot of cutting utensils. There's a lot of different ways they can cut board, like using cutting boards. I'm glad that one took off rather than others. And I think it just works because it's the combination of two things. You're talking about something, but then you're also, there's like a progression. So there's like, I'm cutting the fruit. Like I'm trying to do something, you know, they want to see what that progression looks like, or there's like, it's something that they're watching while I'm talking about something. I think that's why it works. I think that's just also like a low, an easy way to do it rather than the unboxing or cooking or something like that. It
makes total sense. We even have on your LinkedIn name, we have a coconut and a strawberry. I guess this is like part of the brand.
It's become part of the brand. Yeah. I mean, I've had people send me knives, fruit, cutting boards. I mean, it's been interesting.
That's hilarious. Okay, let's get into like the real meat. So B2B Riz now is ABM plus LinkedIn ads. I want to do one question for ABM, one question for LinkedIn ads, or for LinkedIn actually, organic/ads. What are you seeing right now that's working for the LinkedIn part?
Oddly enough, organic ads. So there's a newer ad format called LinkedIn Thought Leadership Ads. So when you can tie together the organic posts, right? So someone posting and then you advertise that to the right people. I think that's just powerful because people buy from people, people trust people. There's a reason so many companies were built off of just people like the CEOs and founders posting on LinkedIn. So when you can tie that together, I think that's just really special. And then people are evolving that to like influencer marketing and things like that. So like paying someone to create content for your brand. But then if you're putting ad dollars behind it to get into the right front, in front of the right person, it's just powerful. It's really, really powerful.
That leads on to one of my future questions, but we'll ask it now is, you are contracted as a content creator for a number of different brands. Is that you creating content about their brand and then also promoting it to your audience? Or are you kind of like in-house helping them create content?
Yeah, it's creating content for them about basically about the brand or like their solution or their pain point. A lot of the posts I like to do, I don't like it to be very straightforward call to action, but it's usually about their pain point or the solution they offer.
And are you featuring that content?
I have a couple different ways I do it with brands, but typically I'll post that content, but then sometimes they'll house it like on their social. So Hockey Stack does, you know, the Netflix of videos type of things like that. I'm like one of the creators on that. Or some others are just more of yeah, I'm posting it, but they also use that content in advertising. Like I mentioned, like those thought leadership ads, they'll use that for those as well.
So they're paying for your like expertise in the content creation, but then they're also paying for your distribution.
Yes. Yeah.
Makes total sense to like a true B2B creator. And it's also probably good because in the act of doing that, they're probably exposing you to their audiences as well, which is so essentially presumably getting paid to also build your brand.
Oh, 100%. That's the way I think of it. So typically, I mean, that's what I like to think about it. It definitely helps my brand as well, for sure. It definitely aligns. Like, and obviously I have to pick the brands that would be closer to my audience, but I've talked to companies that are cybersecurity. I'm like, I don't know. I won't do that because it's just not, even though they have money, which is tough to turn away, it just doesn't fit for my audience or just me. I wouldn't know how to talk about it. I'm terrible at cybersecurity.
So if you had to, in the future, maybe choose between being a full-time creator working with brands and the consulting advisory work, would you choose either one or would you keep doing both?
The answer right now would probably do a mix. If I think about my income stream right now, it's 90% B2B res, the LinkedIn ads side of it, and then 10% is the creation side. That's mostly because the creator side is less consistent. It's sometimes projects or it's like really small number of posts or something like that. Ideally, I can get to a point where it's half and half just because, like you said, it benefits me more if I'm the creator because of I'm getting exposed to their audience as well. So ideally, I can do more of those. Now, I don't know if that's ever going to be possible. I don't know if that's even what I want to do, because I will say it's harder to justify sometimes as well. Because at the end of the day, like the creator, there's going to be maybe some direct attribution, but you're essentially reporting on impressions. That can be tough. And I also feel really bad if a post doesn't do well and they paid me for it. Like I feel really, really bad and I feel really weird about it. So I've actually been more cautious of like who I work with just because I don't want to be the guy that gives them like a bad impression of influencer marketing.
Makes total sense. Let's switch to ABM. Is there anything you're seeing with the consulting clients that is working particularly well at the moment?
So I will say most of my clients, it's like LinkedIn ads first, and there's an ABM component to it. So I don't have much on like the what people would say is like a pure ABM, because it's technically more of like, all right, LinkedIn ads, it's the driver behind it, but it's more like targeted towards specific accounts or something like that. I will say one thing I like, and it's I'm seeing more results from it, even with the past company, but also other companies I've talked to that are doing it and I'm starting to roll it out for some clients, is one-to-one ABM ads, but not so specific where you need to create specific content for each of them or you have to be very specific on everything you do around it, but more on the advertising side. Just so essentially you can target a company and the ad could say, hey, blank company, hey, Microsoft, and then whatever your advertisement or your messaging would be. And that really stops the scroll. And if your content's good, your product's good behind it, that can help drive a lot of pipeline if they're in market. But I don't like to do it very, very one-to-one. I like to do it at kind of like a scale a little bit. So as an example, do it for like 50 companies because timing really matters. And if you're just doing it for like 5 companies, it's going to be hard to do that. You do need to have a little bit more scale than someone just going after 5 to 10 accounts. But if you're doing like 50 companies a month, you're going to get a little bit more of that timing factor. I think that's pretty powerful in ABM just because it stops the scroll. And as an example, in LinkedIn, the average click-through rate is probably 0.05%, maybe 1%. You're excited at 1%. For these one-to-one ABM ads, I've seen 8%, 12% click-through rates. And that's like such a big difference because it actually stops someone from scrolling and actually seeing your message. And if your message is good, it'll resonate.
What is the copy you used to call them out though? I understand with the Microsoft example, you can call out Microsoft. But if you have 50 companies, is there a specific thing you call out in the copy?
So there's usually a few places where I change it. Like the ad, the actual image might say like, hey, company name, and then whatever your message is, and then have logos specific to that industry typically. And the actual copy, you still want to put like the company name in there. So you're just switching that out. But the message is usually going to be specific to, if the message is going to be something that resonates to all the companies based off your solution, essentially.
Makes sense.
You still want to call a company.
Got it. So you're running the specific ads to 50 companies at once.
Yeah. So essentially you have 50 different ads. Hey, company name. Hey, Microsoft. Hey, Google. Hey, Adobe. That type of setup.
Yeah, I love it. The thought leadership ads, have you used that ever for your personal profile, maybe boosting a post through a page that you own?
Yep.
And with a strategy, you were maybe waiting for one to pop off organically, and then just to like fuel the fire, you would spend a bit on thought leader ads.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I typically look for, is like, all right, is it validated organically? And so if it's validated, that usually means it resonates with, in my audience. I know my audience is pretty specific. I'm very niche. Like I talk about ABM, LinkedIn ads, like really small B2B marketing stuff, very small world. So I know my audience is pretty niche. So if it resonates there, then I know it's something I should maybe put some ad dollars behind it and get in front of all the people that I would ideally want to talk to at some point.
I mean, a great idea if one of your clients haven't done this, one of your content creation clients haven't done this already, is maybe you post the content that you've created for them about their product, and then they could boost that post from your profile, from their page. Have anyone tested that?
I'm working with a company right now that we're thinking about that. But even some of those, and that's like on the, they're actually like LinkedIn ads clients type of thing, like ABM with like B2B Riz clients. I am working with a company right now that we might be starting to do that very shortly. Those content creator ones that we mentioned, typically that's what I recommend they do. It's not to say that they're going to do it. I'm not the one behind it, but I recommend they do it. And some do. Definitely do.
Nice. Moving on to the personal journey with B2B Riz. What made you decide, I think it was end of last year or start of this year, to leave and become the consultant or to start B2B Riz?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I've always called myself like a wantrepreneur or whatever you want to call them, because I've always had like a side income just because I do like that type of stuff. Like I've had side clients for 2 years before I ended up going on my own. That said, I was very risk averse. I was very, very nervous when I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. When I put my 3 weeks in, I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I was very, very nervous. I had a lot to do. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. It worked out, but I was really scared. I saw the opportunity. I knew I spent 2.5 years creating content on LinkedIn. So I had some sort of backing there. And the company I worked at, it was an agency. I saw there was a gap in LinkedIn ads experience. So it was very easy to hire someone that had Google Ads experience, Facebook ads experience. Not many people had Google or LinkedIn ads experience. Also saw a gap there that gave me some validation that there's probably something here. And then it's probably not the worst. It's probably not the best time because I'm having a baby in a couple months. But I was like, all right, it's probably time. There's no other time to do it than now, I guess. I wish I had like a day that I woke up and said, I'm going to do this. It's just like, I just decided to take the chance.
Nice. And then going forward into the future, have you mentioned maybe tried to get to 50-50 B2B Riz revenue and content creation revenue? Any other plans going forward?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that 50-50 is like exactly what I want to do. To be honest, I don't know if I want to do client stuff forever. I like it now. I want to mix it up, I think. I don't think I'd ever build a software company or anything like that, but I think I'd probably want to build like some sort of productized something. I don't know what that would be at all. Maybe I sell fruit. I don't even know, but I would want to get to a point where I don't have to be on the client services the whole time. I'll also be honest, like I don't want to scale at all. This is not for building something huge. This is a lifestyle business for me. And I do think I can get to a point where spend less time than now. I still love all this stuff. It's just, I don't know. I'm really bad with like future goals because I don't know what I want to do. I think I changed that up a little bit too much. I think it's always evolving for me, but we'll see. I think we'll see.
We will see. Now, what I've realized in this interview, Tim, is that when you can combine somebody that has the creator talents, but also the marketing mind, then that's when you get results like the brand you've created, I think. Because a number of times you've said that for the fruit thing and for the sign thing, you had these three things that you tested. You tested on your own demand or on your own dime, you know? And so that's like a real marketer talking. And you combine that with the creator skills. And I think that is a really potent combination. That's my realization from this interview. We're going to link, obviously, to b2briz.com below. Even if to just go check out the copywriting, I want everyone to do that. We'll link to your LinkedIn profile, of course. We'll find examples of the fruit and the sign content. Anything else we should mention?
Actually, I mean, those are like the only places. And if there was like one place, it'd probably just be my LinkedIn profile because you can find B2B Riz there too. But yeah, I think, I mean, oddly enough, everything's LinkedIn for me, which is kind of scary at some point. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just find me on LinkedIn.
Amazing, Tim. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. This is awesome. Appreciate it.
All right, team, there we go. You have to look out for those people that have the content creation skills, the, let's say, creative skill set, but also that marketing mind, as Tim mentioned in that episode. It's kind of obvious that he's been able to make this content series work because he combines those two skill sets, which are crucial in order to get attention on the internet right now. So thank you to Tim for giving us his time. Thank you to fame.so for producing this show. And thanks to you for listening.